Well, it's a new day. We have finished our series on Zechariah a couple of weeks ago, and starting a new series today on spiritual warfare. And so if you will turn in your Bible or in the Bible in front of you to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 20 today. While you're doing that, let me just take a moment to thank all of you for some time off last week to go see my mother. Thank you to Chip and to Nathan, who held down the fort while I was gone. I really appreciate their willingness to do that. It's always good to be able to get away, but I always miss you all. And when I go to other churches, I think, okay, this is nice, but this isn't Worcester. So just want to let you know, I love you all very much, and I'm very thankful to be your pastor. Today, we start a new series. This is War is what we're entitling it, Our Part in Spiritual Warfare. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 6 for the next several weeks, going back in this passage week after week and kind of looking at it from a big picture point today, but then going in and looking at some of the details and how it applies to us today. And let me remind you that this is God's Word, and God has breathed it out for our good. He's breathed it out so that we can learn, so that we can grow, and so that we can reflect more of who He is. So let's hear what He has to say from Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, we know that this is your word. Yes, Paul wrote the words down, and they were his words. But in some mysterious fashion, they were exactly the words that you wanted us to hear even today. And so by your Spirit, give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. Point us to the truth that we find in your word, the truth that reminds us of who we are and who you are and what you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us humility to receive your word and understand it in a way that makes sense for us to leave this place today and view the world differently than maybe we had before. Father, you know what each of us needs even before we ask. And you know the needs of every person in this congregation, in this gathering today. Would you meet our needs, even through this message, even through this passage, and help us to be able to stand, as you tell us to in this passage, to stand in your strength, and to fix our eyes on Jesus, and to know the joy that is set before us, just as He endured the cross for the joy set before Him. Help us to persevere and endure and to fight the good fight for your glory, for our good, and for the good of this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say something that I hope is okay to say. There may be differences of opinion, but I think it's okay to say that the internet is a huge part of modern day life. I think that's okay to say. Maybe you might disagree, but it does seem like when you think about sources of information and education and financial dealings and entertainment, the internet is the all-stop place. It's where you can go for all kinds of things. And it's become so much of a part of our lives that we carry a device around with us, many of us do at least, that can connect us instantly to this world wide web. It's amazing. And many of us use the internet day in and day out for all kinds of things. In fact, I was reminded about this not too long ago when one of my kids needed to look up a word in the dictionary. And they didn't say, let's look it up in the book dictionary. It's, let's look it up online. And when you look for phone numbers, you don't go to the phone book anymore. At least some of us don't. We look it up online. I mean, it's amazing what the internet has done to our society. It is something that is just so pervasive. And yet, underneath the surface of the internet, there's a war going on. Maybe you do know this, but maybe you're unaware of this, that every day there are cyber attacks going on underneath the surface, behind the scenes. Most of us are unaware of how often, how frequently, and how devastating these attacks could be. In one article I read recently, it said, behind our screens and devices, a constant stream of malicious cyber activity washes through the high-speed networks that keep us connected. And then it shows this, a link to, and you can do this yourself, a link to, I hope I'm saying this name right, Kaspersky Labs, where you can see the cyber threat real-time map. And you can look at around the world and you can see real time where cyber attacks are going on. It's fascinating. And then you can actually click on a button and it will show you how many attacks are happening per second around the world. And when I looked it up this week, at that moment, there were around 200 per second happening around the world. There's a war going on, and many of us didn't even know it. And that's what's going on in this passage, I believe, from Ephesians. When Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Spirit, to the church at Ephesus, yes, he's writing to them, and there's a specific issue and a specific task that he's trying to take care of there, but then, by the Spirit, this is the Word of God for us today. And it's just as true for us today as it was for them then. And part of all I wanted them to see is that there's a war going on, and you may be unaware. That's the first point that I want us to get across today, that I want us to understand, that whether we realize it or not, there is warfare going on all around us. Whether we realize it or not, there is warfare going on all around us. Take a look at how Paul puts it in this passage. In verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then he repeats in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then if you're still not getting it, he goes bit by bit, piece by piece, to tell us what this armor looks like. A belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, shoes for your feet, the readiness given by the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. All of this is military language. It's warfare language. Now maybe you're saying, okay, well, Stuart, I hear what you're saying, and yes, maybe Paul is using this military warfare imagery in this particular passage, but you don't find this stuff anywhere else in Scripture. You know, maybe it was just one particular thing that was going on in the Ephesus church that doesn't really apply to us today, per se. It's fascinating. If you read the Scriptures with the idea of warfare in mind, you find it all over the place. All over the place. For example, and these are just a few, in 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul says, this charge I entrust you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. In 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Or think about 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Or 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. I mean, over and over and over again, we see in the Scriptures this idea that we are to view ourselves at war. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. When the United States has been at war, we act differently. We think differently. We process differently because we're at war. And that dominates the way we think, the way we act. When we're at peace, we act much differently than when we're at war. Does that make sense? That's what happens. We can't help but that be a part of what is going on. When we are at war, we think differently, we act differently, we process differently. And Paul is trying to say, he is trying to get across the idea that Christian, there's a war going on. Yes, it may be spiritual in nature. Yes, it may be unseen. But there's a war going on, and the way we think about our lives, it impacts how we do in that war, how we engage it. If we don't think that we're at war at all, then we're going to act very differently. But if we know, and if we realize there's a war going on, warfare is happening around us, and I need to engage in the battle, we start to come up with a plan of how to engage in that. And that's really what this passage is about. Now, I mentioned just a few minutes ago, and this is your next point, that this warfare we're talking about is spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not a physical warfare. It's spiritual. It's unseen in nature. But it nevertheless has a significant impact on our lives. Okay? What we're talking about, what Paul is talking about here, this warfare that we're discussing, it is spiritual, not physical. It's unseen, not seen. but it nevertheless has a significant impact on our lives. I want you to think about this. When you, well, you can do this with microscopes and that sort of thing, but if you didn't know about germs, you can't see germs. Like, you can't look on your hands and go, oh, I have a cold germ on my hand. I better wash my hands before I touch my face or else I might get a cold. It's unseen. But let it be a flu virus on your hands and you wipe your nose or whatever and it gets on you and it gets in you. It has a very significant impact. One that you can't deny. Just because something isn't seen doesn't mean it can't have a significant impact on you, on us. And what Paul is getting at here is there is a spiritual, unseen reality that we must deal with, that we must recognize is out there, or else we may be taken unaware. Look at verse 12, for example. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, we're going to come back to this in a few weeks because this is vital. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our real enemies, our ultimate enemies, are not people. Not ultimately. They're spiritual realities. They're these rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And yes, I'm going here. Okay, in our modern society, where when we start thinking about what is it that causes it to rain, we go to the meteorologist and he says, oh, a cold front is coming in. And the jet stream is doing this number. And therefore, it's going to rain. And we explain everything by natural processes. When you start talking about spiritual forces, unseen forces, the modern mind starts going, no. If you can't prove it by scientific language, scientific experimentation, it can't be real. Now, just so you'll hear this, has anybody ever proved that by scientific experimentation? You know what I'm saying? The statement that you have to prove everything by scientific experimentation or it's not real. Has anybody ever proved that by scientific experimentation? No, they haven't. And so why would we put all of our eggs in that basket and believe those things? I'm not anti-science, but I am saying that we can't find absolute, perfect truth only in science. There are good things that we can learn because all truth is God's truth. But the scientific model of today is not the scientific model of, say, Galileo's day or Copernicus. Those men, they knew they were studying God's world and they were trying to understand God's truth from a human perspective. Today, in modern society, much of the scientific experimentation, the scientific theories, they are atheistic or at least agnostic at best. And if the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, we have to say no. No, we can't just go that route. And I'm saying all that because, as C.S. Lewis said in the Screwtape Letter, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils, about spiritual forces. One is to disbelieve in their existence. And I think that's where many of us, and when I say us, I mean Americans, really are. Or at least functionally, that's where we are. Now, the other, of course, is to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. And there are those of us in America who are like that, where we find a demon under every rock. The truth is somewhere in between. That yes, there is a spiritual reality and we need to be aware of it, but we shouldn't take an excessive and unhealthy interest in that. We should focus on our Lord Jesus. So, if this warfare is spiritual and unseen in nature, and it has a significant impact on us, we need to be aware of it. And I want to rewind the tape all the way back. Rewind the tape. Good grief, that shows my age. Rewind all the way back to the beginning. Because spiritual warfare is something that happened at the very beginning of our existence. It was guerrilla warfare. Adam and Eve, they were given very clear instruction as to what was good and what was right and what was wrong, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And according to Genesis 3, the serpent set out to deceive, set out to undermine the goodness and the authority of God, hindering Eve particularly, but Adam too, from seeing the good that God had given, planting the seeds of doubt. Folks, if there is deception, if there is hindering us from seeing the goodness of God, you can bet that that is a tactic of the evil one. It's been his way from the very beginning, and it will continue on until the day of Christ Jesus. And so this passage shows us, this passage is pointing us to this truth that there is an unseen battle. There is a spiritual battle, and the battle is truly about truth and deception. And so God calls us to engage in this warfare His way. And this is an important part of what we need to say today. God calls us to engage in this warfare His way. We like to engage in fighting, if we're going to fight at all, our way. And what is our way of fighting? Political power? Actual fighting? Military strength? Trying to put people in their place? Anger? Manipulation. There are all sorts of ways that we engage in so-called warfare. But God calls us to engage in this warfare His way. And what is His way? Take a look. And again, we're going to come back to this and talk more thoroughly about it, but take a look. He says in verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." Not strong in my own self, not relying on my own prowess, not trying to lean on my own understanding, but being strong in Him. And then in verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you'd be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." This isn't a call to have a medieval crusade. Okay? This isn't us putting on literal armor and getting a literal sword and going out and fighting flesh and blood enemies. No, this is a spiritual battle. A battle that is about truth and falsehood. And so we put on this whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We pray. All of those things, as we'll see, they are a part of a spiritualness, a battle where we're relying on the truth of God and the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to know, you start talking about spiritual warfare, you start talking about the demonic and evil forces, people are going to get uncomfortable. Okay, so let's just put that on the table. People are going to get uncomfortable. I've already mentioned the modern mindset that sort of dismisses all that. But even if you're not there, you may start saying, is Stuart going to start talking about casting out demons and doing exorcisms? How very un-Presbyterian of us. Are we going to start a deliverance ministry where we start delivering people from, you know, the demon of alcoholism or the demon of whatever? Is that really what we're going at? And I want you to notice in this passage, look very carefully. Look very carefully at the passage. Do you see any mention of elaborate rituals for exorcisms in this passage? Do you see any mention of anything that you might see in one of these movies like The Exorcist or any other kind of movie where you have to have a priest who goes into a particular area and he has to say the right words or else the exorcism doesn't take? Do you see anything like that in this passage? In fact, do you see any discussion of demon possession and how to deal with that at all in this passage? Do you even see one single word about that craziness that you may have heard of or seen when you think of the word deliverance ministry? No. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a demonic reality. Don't hear me wrong. But this particular passage, what it's talking about, when it's talking about spiritual warfare, when it's talking about engaging in the battle, when it's talking about taking a stand in the power of the Lord, it's something that every single Christian should partake in. Not exorcists, not the priest or the clergy. If you're in Christ, every one of us engages in this battle. And second, when we're looking at this passage, it's really talking about where are our eyes fixed? Who has our faith? How are we stepping out in that faith? In the power of the Lord Jesus. That's really what this passage is about. And as we keep going back to this passage, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that because it can be so easy to kind of get off in the loony land when we start talking about spiritual warfare. What we're talking about here is dealing with the spiritual realities God's way. And I hope to unpack that over the next several weeks. But no matter where we are, no matter how we engage in this, one thing we have to make clear, one thing it has to be absolutely certain, or else we cannot engage in this battle at all, is that ultimately, the battle belongs to the Lord, not to us, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives us the victory. That is foundational. That is where we have to hang our hat. That is everything. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That has to be our theme. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through my work. Not through my effort. Not even through how I'm putting Ephesians 6 in practice. Ultimately, the victory comes from Jesus himself, because Jesus is the conqueror. He's the victor. He's the one who left the realms of heaven to engage in the war on the enemy's turf. He invaded this fallen world and lived this perfect life of righteousness, even though he was tempted in every way as we are, but he never gave in. And then he was willing to lay down his life to save his people. And then he rose victorious over sin, over death, over the devil, over all of this demonic horde that we might think of when we think about spiritual warfare. All of it, Jesus is the victor. And when he returns, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone, demons included, spiritual forces included, there will be no one left out on that day. And until then, we fix our eyes on Jesus. We know he has victory. We know we are on his side. And he wins in the end. That's why Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how well we engage in the battle, although we are called to engage. It's about our captain. It's about the Savior. It's about our King. It's about the conqueror, the one who comes in on the white horse and sets us free. So really, if you don't understand anything about anything that I've said today or throughout this whole series, please understand that. Because that's all we have. Jesus is the victor. And because he's the victor, all who put their faith in him, all who trust in him, they will have victory also. Even if we fail in this life, even if we get crushed in this life, even if everything goes to pot in this life, we know we have the victory because we're more than conquerors. Not even death itself can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So because of that truth, I want us to remember this. Let's grow. Let's grow in our awareness of spiritual warfare. That's what this series is about. Let's grow in our awareness of spiritual warfare. And then let's engage in the battle with our eyes fixed on our champion, Jesus. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I am so thankful that you are the victor. That death could not hold you, sin could not bring you down, the devil's schemes could not keep you from doing what you set out to do in saving your people. So will you help us to remember your victory? And because you are victorious and we have victory in you, work in us by your Spirit that we will be bold to engage in the daily battle of spiritual warfare, of tearing down strongholds of deception, of holding on to the truth even when everyone else seems to say that the truth is false, of preaching the good news to ourselves so that we remember the truths and are not taken in by the schemes of the evil one. Lord, there are so many ways that we need to engage in this battle. Help us and use this series, use this passage by your Spirit to grow us in awareness and engagement of being in the battle. Lord, we know that the battle is going on. Help us to get involved and get engaged for your glory, for again, for our good, and for the good of this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.